Welcome to Ray Street Baptist Church Morning Service Version 2. We're starting a little later than we used to. I trust that you all had a good time of fellowship, one with another, in between Sunday school and morning service. Let's take our hymn books this morning and turn to song number 3. Right at the very beginning of the hymn book. Song number 3, Praise the Savior, ye who know him.
Oh,
this morning. I got to make sure I mention this before I forget. Reminder, starting tonight, there will be no Sunday evening services. So if you come back tonight, you won't see anybody else around. So don't forget about that. We still will have our normal Wednesday evening prayer and Bible study, Lord willing, as long as the weather is good. We had to cancel last Wednesday night because of the storm that we had. But normally we'll have our Sunday school at 9:30 and our fellowship time afterward, and then starting the morning service at 11, and then that will be it for the day after that. And then we'll have our Wednesday prayer and Bible study. So that's what we'll be having on a normal basis for the foreseeable future at this point. Don't forget, guys, after the morning service, we'll be having our meeting, the pulpit committee. So make sure that we get down there as soon as we can. I know I have to take some people home first, and then I'll be back. But trust that we'll make some good headway, and we'll see what the Lord does there. So I think that's all the announcements that I'm aware of right now. So let's take our books again. Number 69.
songs that I picked that I was going to sing today, and Lord willing, I'll sing them. I want to give you an update on my dad, on our pastor. I know a couple weeks ago I said that we may very likely have seen him at his last service, and this may very likely be the last announcement like this. He, this past week, was... it was a difficult week for the family. He took a downward turn. Last weekend, he was doing okay. He was kind of alert, and we were starting to think that, well, maybe we'd be able to get these medicines squared away, and he'll be able to come home. But that is not the case. By about Tuesday, his breathing had slowed down, and his coherency was very, very limited. And by the middle of the week, by Thursday, I guess, he had very... very short periods where he opened his eyes even. And now he's pretty much just sleeping all the time. He doesn't appear to be in any pain. It looks like he's pretty stable as far as the pain goes. But that being said, it's just sedating him pretty much the whole time. He's not taking in any fluids, and he's not really eating. About the only fluids he gets is what goes into the mouth with a sponge to keep him moistened. So that being said, we did have a conversation on Thursday with the hospice nurses and the doctor, and they said that that can go on for a couple weeks, but they felt that it was more likely that probably about 5 to 10 days is about all that he would be able to go with in that condition. So it's very likely that this may be his last week here. So I wish I had better news, but I don't. But it is something we can rejoice in, knowing that he's finally going to get to go home. And I wouldn't want to keep him here like he is. And as far as visiting him, he's not going to wake up for you. Most likely he's just going to sleep. You may not want to see your pastor like that anyway. I'm not sure. It's difficult even for family members. And do not feel like you have to go visit him for the family's sake. We completely understand. So you do not have to do that. If you do, we appreciate it, but We also understand how difficult it is for everybody else, and you know, you don't want to see him like somebody said to me this morning, that we just don't want to see him like that. We want to remember Pastor in the way he was, with full of life and leading the singing, and that really is the way we want to remember his life. I mean, he spent 41 years here doing that, and gave his life to it. So that is the announcement. That being said, I have two songs that I picked out here that I came across these songs last couple weeks, and we'll see if I can sing them. There's two of them here. It really is fitting for where he's at in life. Looking
Jesus. I can see how he has helped me all the way. And the tears I've shed just helped to keep me humble. And each burden only taught me how to pray. Lord, I've been faithful in the service you have given. And the harvest of the fields, Lord, I have done. But now my steps are growing weary.
Songs. I am breathing.
take my hand. Lord, lead me home. Take my hand. Lord, lead me
home. Gonna mess me up again. I'm gonna have a hard time continuing what I was gonna continue with. I have a seed thought in my mind. I don't have the full message developed as I like to develop it in my mind and in my heart. So I'm gonna wing something this afternoon. I might not be as long as usual, but that's okay. It's all right with you, right? Rather than preaching a full... Okay, so the length of time. Brother Jason, did you ever hear the song Going Home?
Yeah.
There's nothing to hold me here. You don't have that one, do you? Going home. Yeah. All right, maybe at the end if you can try to... All right, let's do that one at the end, okay? I have a message on that I'm starting. It's not fully developed. And... So I have three different places in the scriptures that I just want to take a gander at. And I want to talk about death for a moment. I'm sorry. Oh, thank you, brother. It's all the way around here. Okay. Thank you, brother. Oh, good. I appreciate that. You know, death means separation. That's what it means. And, if the Lord doesn't come and take us, we're all going to go the way of the earth. And the preacher is there. He's in the valley of the shadow of death right now. But the Lord is with him. And he's comforted as much as possible right now. And we're praying for God to comfort him. And as he takes him from this life, definitely to a better place. We talked about heaven last week, 2 weeks ago. And people that are there would not want to come back. And it is a selfish thing to want to keep them here, you know, for our sake, you know. And so to be able to be willing to let them go and let the Lord take them is a great key. As we think about death in the Bible, I want to say this for the Christian. You know, death is definitely different between Christian and non-Christian. The death of the lost is not a good thing at all. But I love the scriptures, and I believe it's Revelation 14, 13. And again, I'm just kind of shooting off my mind. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, they shall rest from their labors. Amen? And we know that the pastor, we know that the preacher is saved. And we know that he will be with the Lord. Amen. And ain't no doubt about that. They sleep in Jesus. Amen. There's three things that I want us to note this morning about death. Well, first of all, there's one thing I want us to note mainly about it for the Christian. Death is a release. It's a release. I can't remember the hymn off my head, but when I have fought life's final battle, I don't know, death, facing death is life's final fight. I can't picture exactly what song it was in. But if the Lord doesn't come, we're all going to face life. We're going to face death, which is the final battle for every Christian. Amen? Yet our Lord has conquered death. Amen. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as you well know, speaks of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it also speaks of the fact that because he conquered death and rose from the grave, you and I that are saved will as well conquer death. And eventually our bodies will rise from the grave. Amen. Death has no victory over us. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the context of that is over death. On the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ showed his power and his strength over death. Even at the very tomb of Lazarus, you recall, when he went there and they said, he's dead. And he yelled out, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Jesus Christ manifested that he had the power and the authority over death. I remember reading an illustration one time about a little boy, about 6, 7 years old, asked his parents, what does death mean? What is death? What does it feel like? How do you know about it? And the parents obviously couldn't explain. And so the best they could, they said to the child, do you know how at nighttime when you crawl into mommy and daddy's bed and you fall asleep, and then all of a sudden you wake up the next day in your own room? That's what death is like. You fall asleep in one place, but you wake up in another place. And for the Christian, you wake up in a better place. Amen. Let me give you three thoughts. But number one, the main thing I want you to get is death is a release. Number one, it's a release from the bondage of this life. Death is a release from the bondage of this life. Our brother right now is laying in that hospice bed. And let me tell you what he's in bondage to. He's in bondage to the flesh. Amen? You and I are not in a hospice, but guess what? We are in bondage to this flesh right here. And as the flesh gets older, weaker, and wearier, the bondage becomes greater. I think of what Paul, when he cried out in Romans 17, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And we know who that deliverer is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Death is a release from bondage. Would you look with me, if you would, for a moment in Romans chapter number 8? I'm going to just take you to three places in the Bible, and I want us to see death is a release. It's a release. It's a release from the bondage. There'll be no more bondage when you're out of this body. Amen? And when your body is raised from the grave and when the Lord returns and we are transformed and changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll have glorified bodies, bodies that are not in bondage. Amen? Romans chapter number 8, would you look with me? Look in verse number 18, please. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 18, the Bible says this, for I reckon, and that reckon means count it as true, you can bank on it. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Paul the apostle, as a servant and as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered in his flesh to serve the Lord. But he said, listen, I know, by the way, they that suffer for the Lord will reign with the Lord. Amen. And that reigning time, there's no comparison to the reward that will be compared to the suffering. Look at verse number 19. For the earnest expectation, that term means the hope. The earnest expectation of the creature, and might I say, all creation. In fact, this chapter emphasizes the fact that when sin came into this race, it not only brought its effect upon the human body, but it brought its effect upon the whole earth. The earth is cursed, amen? The bodies, if you will. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse number 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Verse number 21, because the creature itself also shall be what? Delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. What he's saying is, when the Lord comes back, And he's going to rapture those of us that are saved. And we know that he's going to also return to earth. And he's going to begin the millennial kingdom. And things will be changed. Creatures and creation will be changed. The curse will be lifted. In fact, you and I, when we go to be with the Lord, the curse is lifted. Amen. But when he comes back on this earth, the curse will be lifted. Delivered from the bondage, if you will. He goes on to say in verse number 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, verse number 23, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. And by the way, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. He's the down payment, the guarantee that you'll be released from the bondage that you're in. Amen. Even we ourselves, look at what it says in verse number 3, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. What he's saying here is all creation has been affected by the sin. You know, sin entered the universe through Satan. And then it entered into the world through Adam and through Eve, and the effects and the cause of sin. If it wasn't for sin, death would not be here. Pain and sorrow and agony and all the sufferings that human beings go through would not be here if it wasn't for sin. But thank God that God so loved the world, he gave his son to die on that cross. The second Adam came to die on that cross and to reclaim the earth and you and I. Amen? And that's what the crucifixion of Christ is all about. His blood purchased our salvation. The second Adam, he will come and release this earth from its bondage. But I will say, when a brother or sister who's saved leaves this earth and leaves this body to go be with the Lord, they are released from the burden of this life. Amen. There's no doubt about that. What a release. But let me give you another thought, if you would. Would you turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Released from the burden. You know, me and our brother was talking about Job this morning and just thinking of all that Job went through. You know, some people say, you remember his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Many actually believe that she was being sympathetic. Many believe that. Many believe she was saying, man, you'd be better off not being here. Not that I concur with that. But she obviously saw her husband going through a lot of pain and a lot of agony. I want you to see 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. So in Romans chapter number 8, death is a release from bondage, from the bondage of this life. When you're young and you have all kinds of health and life and vitality, you don't understand the bondage as much. But as you get older, and as things start to fail, and as things start to go, and as life starts to take on that Ecclesiastes chapter 12, you know what I mean? You start to realize the bondage that our bodies are in. And as they get worse, boy, the worse the body gets, the more anticipated we become to be released. Release from bondage. Let me give you the second thought. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 8, not only is death a release from the bondage of this life, but death is a release from the burden of this life. The burden of this life. Paul the Apostle, in this book, in 2 Corinthians, especially in chapter 4, he talked about all the things that he went through as he served the Lord. All the pain and suffering, the fastings, and just all the difficulty serving the Lord. And I want you to pick up with me in verse number 1 of chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1. Here's what Paul said, for we know. And by the way, boy, we could park right there and just talk all about that fact. Listen. Thank God there are things we know. Not we hope so. We know. And the only reason we know is because God said it. Amen. Verse number 5. For we know that if our earthly house, and he's speaking about this body, if our earthly house, and notice what he says, of this what? tabernacle, tent. You see, he refers to the body, the human body, as a tent because it's temporary. A tent is not made to last forever. He said, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. Now he speaks about a body that's permanent. Amen. Thank God you and I are going to fold up these tents and leave this life, and we're going to have a permanent residence in heaven with the Lord. Amen. We have a building of God. He says, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Verse number 2, for in this, he says, we what? We groan. You see what Paul's saying? In this body, we groan. Earnestly desiring. Look at that. Earnestly desiring. I'll be honest with you. I think the worse you get, the more you desire that new body. Like I mentioned it, when you're healthy and everything seems to be going right, you're not earnestly looking forward to a new body. But as you get older and things start to fall apart, boy, your desire gets more and more greater. Can't wait. Amen. For in this we groan, earnestly desire to be clothed upon, he said, with our house, which is from heaven. Verse number 3, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And thank God, you and I that are saved will never be found naked in the sense of that shame because of sin. We are clothed, those of us that are saved, with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. And by the way, this is a whole picture, takes you right back to the garden. Man was naked, but they didn't understand it because they weren't guilty. There was no sin. When they sinned against God and guilt came in, they knew they were naked. They were ashamed and they tried to cover themselves. But covering yourself is never sufficient. That's like trying to be religious to be saved. It ain't happening. But God sacrificed the first sacrifice and clothed them conveniently enough to cover the shame of their nakedness. Amen. And that was a great picture of the Lamb of God who was sent to die and to shed his blood that we might be clothed with his righteousness. Amen. And therefore we'll not have no shame to us. Verse number 4, if you will. For we that are in this tabernacle, this body, he says it again, we do what? Groan. And look at the next statement, being burdened. You see, Romans 8 said death is a release from bondage. Here it's saying death is a release from burden. I'm going to lay down my burdens down by the riverside, down by, right? And worry no more. He goes on to say in verse number 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality, that which can die would be swallowed of life, that no more dying. See, we're going to give up these things that die, and we're going to get a hold of things that don't die anymore. Amen. He says in verse number 5, now he that hath wrought us for the self-same thing is God, who hath also given us the earnest of the Spirit. How do we know that we are going to drop these bodies that are burdensome? And how do we know that we're going to have ones that are eternal and without any burdens? Because we have been saved and we have been given a guarantee. We've been given the Holy Spirit of God, who is the down payment of our salvation. You say, what does that mean? That means this. When a young man wanted to marry a young woman in the Jewish economy, he would give her a down payment. He would give her a dowry. He would give her something valuable to say, this is a guarantee. This is an assurance. What I'm going to do now, I'm going to go and I'm going to add to my father's house. And then when I'm ready, I'm going to come and I'm going to marry you and I'm going to take you to be with me. You recall John 14? 1-3, when Jesus was leaving this earth and he said to the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, listen, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the picture. Jesus came to earth, died on the cross, shed his precious blood, comes to us, wants to save us. If we say yes, he says, here's the Holy Spirit as a down payment. I'll be back. I'm going to add on. Amen. And that's what we're waiting for. We're his and he's ours. Amen. Look at verse number 6, if you would, please. Therefore, he says, therefore, in light of the fact that we have a down payment, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the assurance and the guarantee of our salvation. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we're here at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. But he says in verse number 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Look at verse 8, which is the key verse. We are confident. By the way, that's the best thing that you can be when you're facing death's door, is confident. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul's swan song, the last book he wrote, he was on death row. He knew he was going to die soon. He said in verse number 12 of chapter 1, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul, facing death, knew he was saved and he trusted the Lord. Amen. Look at verse 8. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I like what he said there. He said, I'm not just confident that I'm going to be with the Lord when I'm absent from my body. Here's what he said. I am willing rather. You know what he's saying? I'd rather be with the Lord. I'd rather be with the Lord. Now, I believe that Paul could speak from experience. See, I believe Paul went to heaven. I believe Paul saw things and heard things that he couldn't explain here on earth. He was there. That's why in the book of Philippians, chapter number 1, he said, look, it's more needful for me to stay for your sake. He said, but man, I'm in a great conflict. He said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Amen? He knew it. He was there. Death is a release from the bondage of this life. Death is a release from the burden of this life. No more worrying. No more worrying. I want you to see the last thought, if you would, please. Would you turn with me to 2 Timothy? I mentioned just a moment ago that this was Paul's last letter before he went to be with the Lord. And you see the heart of the pastor, you see the heart of the preacher, especially for the ministry, as he speaks beginning in verse number 1. And I want you to see this. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1. And might I say this, as we'll get there in a moment. We said in Romans 8, death is a release from the bondage of this life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, death is a release from the burden of this life. This text right here speaks about death as a release from the battle of this life. The battle of this life. Especially those that are ministers. Believe it or not, leadership a lot of times goes through a lot more because they're at the front. They're at the forefront. They're the bigger target. You know, the devil, boy, if he can smite the shepherd and the sheep will flee, scatter. The devil hits for the head. Why? Because if you get the head, you get the body. And preachers go through, leaders, spiritual leaders go through tremendous battles that a lot of times, if you've never been there, you don't understand it. Amen. But here we have a preacher that knows it's toward the end of his life. And here's what he says, beginning in verse number 1. He said to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Timothy, I know that I'm on my last days. I want you to do something. Preach the word. He said, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. He said this, verse number 3. For the time will come, and might I say, I believe we're here, when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's a lot of people that don't want the word of God. Amen. But they will, after their own lust, their own desires, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. He said in verse number 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. In other words, complete your ministry. What is the heart of this preacher doing as he knows he's facing the end of his life? He's saying to the one that's going to take his place, keep on going on. Preach the word and so on. Now, here's what he says in verse number 6. And this is where I want to focus for you and I right now. For I am now ready to be offered. Using that term offered like an Old Testament sacrifice being poured out to the Lord. I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure. That word departure, that's release. That's release. The time of my departure is at hand. He's getting ready to be released from the battle. As a soldier folding up the tent. Verse number 7, here's what he says. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. But here's what he knew. As a minister, as a preacher, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only. I like that. He wasn't selfish about this, wasn't it? He's not saying I'm the one and only. There's other brothers like me, sisters, Christians like me, especially in the context of leadership in the church, brothers, amen. He said, but unto all them also, listen, that love his appearing. Paul the Apostle in this text was encouraging Timothy, I'm leaving. You're going on. Keep it up, amen. He's about ready to be released from the battle. Our brother's in the hospice right now, and he's on the verge of being released. Released from the bondage of that body. Our bodies are decaying, amen? And he's getting ready to be released from that body. And he's getting ready to be released from that burden in this battle, amen? That's what death for the believer is. If we can only keep these things in mind, listen, as always, we sorrow. We sorrow, but not as the world. See, we have mixed emotions. Sorry. And sorrow over the situation. But on the other hand, that balances it out. We know he's going to be with the Lord. And it's going to be way better than it is here. Amen. Brother, if you'll make your way to the piano. Would you bow with me as we get ready to have a closing song. Let's ask the Lord's blessing as we close up the service. Father in heaven, we are thankful to be your children. We're thankful to be saved. We're thankful to know the Word of God. We're thankful to have the Word of God. There are so many people going through the situations that we go through, but the sad thing is, they don't know you. You know, it's one thing to die without the Lord, and many will do that. But it's another thing to have to go through the heartaches and trials and troubles of this life and not know the Lord, and not have what we have to get us through. We are praying, dear Lord, this morning for our dear brother, the pastor of this church for 41 years. We are praying that you'll please give him as much comfort as possible in this life until you take him to be with you, dear Lord. Be with his family, be with his wife and his children, his parents, Lord, his siblings. We're praying for your timing, your leading, your grace in every way. Be with this church, many of whom have been here for many, many years, and there's a kinship. Lord, when this brother leaves this earth to be with thee, we know that a part of many hearts will be gone. We are thankful to be reminded of the fact that he will be released from a bondage and a burden and a battle. That is real. That is real. I do pray that now, Lord, you'll bless the song as Brother Jason sings. Bless our hearts, Lord, in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen.
there is nothing to hold me here. 'Cause I've caught a glimpse of that heavenly land. Praise God, I'm going home. Many times in my arms would slip round me, and gently he'd say, "My son, we're going home, going home, I'm going home. There is nothing to hold." But my Father has led me each step of the way, and now I'm going home, going home, I'm going home. There is nothing with me one more time.